Now we read in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 17. Trust that God will be with us still and guide us for His glory. I'd like to read four little words, that is four little portions in this Gospel. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole, for thy faith hath saved thee. Chapter 8. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the demons were departed besought him that he might be with him, and Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Chapter 19. Verse 11. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Said therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his disciples sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him, whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then you know how he rewarded them all so well. Now the other word is in 11, chapter 11. Verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. With me gathereth not with me, scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He said, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the whole and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's the devil. You can be sure that he'll be back again. What led me to read these verses, dear friends, is that you have, first of all, a returning sinner, a sinner that returns. Then you have a returning saint. That was the man out of whom he cast the demons. Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. A returning saint. And then a returning Savior. That's the Lord Jesus. Come back to heaven to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. To return. Thank God Jesus is coming again. And the last one is returning Satan. That's a kind of an old sermon of mine, but I've enjoyed it again lately. A little. And I was thinking about it this morning. And I thought maybe I would try it now. And the Lord bless it with what we've had already. What Brother McBain spoke about getting back to God. You know, dear friends, we need to return. There's no doubt about it because we get away from God. I think the life of a Christian is just a series of getting away and returning and getting away and coming back again. And we need to continually come. You know, all the gospel texts that speak of the Savior and the Lord Jesus and how we get saved, they're all spoken of in that present continuous sense. For instance, the verse that I got saved through, why it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, one thing, I couldn't take any credit to myself for getting saved, because anybody could get saved through that. I've heard people getting saved through some of the queerest texts you ever heard of. And I'm sure I would have never seen it that way. But this verse I'm quoting you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the reason I got saved that day was because I couldn't help getting saved. I just, God saved me in spite of myself. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you notice it says that whosoever believeth. That means present, continuous sense. It means believe and keep right on believing. And I believe that God means his salvation to be an everyday experience. Just like getting saved over again. I talk sometimes about the 16th of April on a Monday afternoon in the year 1906 in a little kitchen by a table in front of a window reading John 3:16, when God in his mercy saved my soul, dear friend. And I tell you, that was a happy day. Sometimes they call it Blue Monday. I say, well, if it is Blue Monday, it was a lovely, bright blue. I'm a-telling you. I say the sun never shone brighter, and the birds never sang sweeter, and the grass never grew greener than it did that happy Monday afternoon. What about Friday morning, June 2, 1956? How about June 2, dear friend? Well, it's a happy day, too. I enjoyed that this morning, when I looked out, that little hymn was singing, the sunshine of his love, some day more bright and my calm pillow of repose by night. Dear friends, I have Christ. Jesus is my Savior, and He loves me, and I love Him. Dear friends, that's the main thing after all, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said to some people when He was here, He said, I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. And I said, Lord, is that how people know they're saved? They have the love of God in them. The love of God in them. That's one thing that reached my soul. But I never knew that God loved me till that day. I always believed He loved everybody, but I never knew He loved me till that day. And His love got into my heart that day. Dear friends, and that's what holds a Christian, mind you. If you lose that, there's nothing else will keep you. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That means come and keep the coming, dear friends. Not he that came unto me 50 years ago last April, but him that cometh. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. It doesn't say whosoever took a drink 50 years ago. He that drinketh of this water. You've been hearing about the water. Thank God, dear friend. The river of God is full of water. And the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. There's no need for us to be dry at all. Not at all. God's river flows on. Love, His mercy flows on like a river. His love is something and free. And His grace is forever sufficient. It reaches and purifies me. Well now, the same in all those scriptures. It's a present day experience. Now here's a man. Here's 10 men. And they were lepers. And they saw the Lord Jesus coming. And they cried out. And they said, Jesus, Master, was it? Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And I tell you, that was a cry from their very heart. And he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were saved. They were healed. The bodies were healed as they went. I don't suppose they took 2 steps till it was all settled. The father, when the prodigal started for home, I don't suppose he took many steps till the father started out to meet him. And I like, he likely took 3 steps till the prodigal's one. There may be 6 I wouldn't wonder for his steps drag heavy, I'm thinking. So he ran to meet him. And so, these men, when they went, as they went, they just started off. As soon as a poor sinner is willing to be saved in God's way, God will save him right away. I thought I was that all the time, but I wasn't. I had a way of my own and an idea of my own. And like Naaman, behold, I thought. Yes. You know, dear friends, when God did save me, I could hardly believe it. I was scared to say I was saved. Well, they said, are you saved? I said, well, I don't know, but I believe I am. Anyway, I said, here's what it says, and I began to read it. I've heard dear Paul Elliott, I don't know if he's here or not this morning, I hope he is. God bless him. And I heard him tell, and I often have thought of it, just suited me exactly. He says, you've seen a little colt when it's first born, and it's just a standing there, a shaking and a quivering, exactly the I thought. None of that was me too. I was afraid that I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I wanted to be real, dear friends. And I wanted to be sure. But you see, I just took him at his word and trusted him. And on it, I said, I said, here's all I've got for it. And I began to read it to him. And I read it to him as if I'd never read it before. And I said, why, sure, I'm saved. Can't you see that? And really, I thought everybody would get saved then. I thought that they'd all get saved. They can't help but get saved. I remember when some poor troubled soul, some of the preachers talking to them, trying to point them to Christ, and I'd think, my, if they'd only let me, give me a chance, I'd soon show them how to get saved. I couldn't help it. And so I'd get a chance, and I'd read it to them. And I'd look at them, expecting to hear them say, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I wonder, what's the matter with them? I look down on my, they must be awfully dumb. They can't see that. But I forgot how dumb I was, dear friends, before God saved my soul from hell. Well, anyway, they got saved. They got healed, their bodies, the whole 10 of them. And the one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, he turned back and fell down at Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. Thanks, dear friends. I tell you, that's a lovely word. Thanks. Our little Betty, when she was a youngster going to school, learned a little verse I never forgot. I try to teach it to the children. I teach it to you old children. You need it too. Hearts. Hearts like doors will open with ease. The very, very little keys. And don't forget that two are these. I thank you, sir. And if you please. That's good logic. Courtesy becomes a Christian, dear friends. We get so much, our hearts get so enlarged that our heads don't work sometimes. And we forget even to be polite. Christian ought to be a gentleman and a lady of the highest order. So he fell down. In fact, and when he saw that he was cleansed, he fell down at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. There's something in that portion I don't understand, but like the rest were Jews, and they were blinded, and they didn't understand or something. But they didn't come back, they didn't return. Kept right on it going. Took it as a matter of course in their stride. This thanking God is a grand business. The grandest tonic for spirit, soul, and body I know of is to keep a thankful spirit. People go whining and a growling and a grumbling all the time, and we ought to be praising the Lord. Nothing does you more good, dear friends. Billy Gray said, if they nailed him up in a barrel, he'd shout hallelujah out the bunghole. And I believe he would. I'd say I've been nailed up in many a barrel of circumstances myself, but I've always found a bunghole somewhere yet and shout hallelujah. And I've helped the thing greatly to mitigate it, dear friends. Keep a thankful spirit. Praise the Lord. Keep thanking God. There's a verse in the psalm, the very last verse in the psalm, and the very last gasp in the verse. It says that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. That everything that hath, present tense. I say it's too late to praise them with the breath you've growled away. Too late, they're gone forever. And you're not sure you love another. But if you've got a gasp at all, brother, sister, use it to praise the Lord. You couldn't put it to better use. Such a growling. Did you ever do that, mister? The lady sitting over there could tell you. I'm talking about myself, not you, dear brother. I don't suppose you do as much as me. Anyway, he came back and fell down at Jesus' feet. You know, it pleases God to thank him. Oh, there's nothing pleases him like praising him. That's all he gets out of us. Well, that's all you can do. All that the Lord gets out of his people is their praise and their thanksgiving. There's an expression in the Bible that speaks about the Lord's Supper. And I don't think I know what it means. Maybe you could help me. It's only once in the Bible. Is the supper that we provide for him, or is the supper that he provides for us? Which is it? I don't know. But I know in the Old Testament all the suppers, all the feasts of Jehovah were feasts that they provided for him. And like Mary and Martha and Lazarus there, they made him a supper. I think the Lord's Supper is a supper really preeminently and primarily that we make for him. And God feasts upon the praises of his people, dear friends. I know the Lord is Lord at his own table. Does that strike you too? But I like to think when we praise him, that's the Lord's portion. And if your heart gets away from God and you cease the song, with a little word in a song, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving, and this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that have horns and hoofs. Horns might speak of fighting, contending earnestly for the faith, and we're Trojans at it, some of us are. And the hoofs might speak of service, but here's something that pleases God better than our fighting or our working or our labor, and that is the song of our hearts, beloved. And if that's gone, there's not much to it. It's pretty much all Martha and not much in there. Well, he came back and he thanked him. Thanked him. Oh, to thank him more, dear friend. Praise him more. Dear Brother Wilkie, God bless him. And he tells about a man at Forest, a farmer like you, dear man. And he hired a young fellow for the year. The year before that, the young man worked for one of the brethren at Forest. Godly man. The first meal he sat down at his new place, they started right in. The young fellow wasn't saved either, but he sat there aghast to think of it going to start right in. And the man looked at him, for he didn't start to eat. He says, "What's the matter, son?" Well, he says, "Don't you get thanks here, mister?" "No," he says, "you don't." He says, "You can if you like." "Oh, no," he says, "you ought to do it." He says, "Where I worked all last year, Mr. So-and-so, give thanks to God at every meal for the food." I says, "The man, how do we take turns?" "All right," says the boy. "How do we," says I, "with 2 weeks each?" "All right," says the boy. I says, "The man, you start first." "No," says the boy, "you start first. You're the head of the house." Must have been a nice man. And he did. He said something. Bowed his head and gave thanks to God for the food. Dear friends, I believe every man ought to do that. And I believe every little boy and girl ought to do it. When we were little at home and my father was away, my mother would get either Jim or me to say the grace. It did us no harm, dear friends. I believe children ought to be taught to thank God for all that they receive. I believe if men would live up to the light that they have, like this man I'm telling you about, for he kept it up for 2 weeks. And when the 2 weeks up, he says to the boy, "Now, son, it's your turn." "No," says the boy, "you're doing so good, mister. Keep it up." And he wouldn't do it. And the boy wasn't saved, mind you. Will you be surprised if I tell you that very soon God spoke to that dear man? Like Cornelius, who was living up to the light he has. I believe every man of Adam's race and woman too, that they would live up to the light they have and acknowledge God as the creator and the giver of all things. God would give him more light than he did to Cornelius. That man got saved. He went to the forest and bought himself a Bible and wrestled on until God saved him. You know something? What's kind of stirred me up about this portion of God's Word lately is a dear sister in Sheboygan, Michigan, sent us a little poem. I want to read it to you right now. It's very touching to me, and I hope God will bless it to you about this man, one of these 9 men that didn't come back, never retired. And this is supposed to be one of them that's writing this. I suppose some of you better have seen it. I hope you have. But maybe some of you haven't. And I'm going to read to you what this man wrote. And the title is, "The 9 out of 10 still forget." Still forget. That's what he's supposed to say. "I meant to go back. But, well, you may guess, I was filled with amazement I can't express to think that after those horrible years, that passion of loathing and passion of fears, by sores unendurable beating, defiled. My flesh was as smooth as the flesh of a child. I was drunken with joy. I was raptured with glee. I scarcely could walk, and I scarcely could see for the dazzle of sunshine where all had been black. But I meant to go back. I meant to go back. I had thought to return when my people came out. There were tears of rejoicing and laughter and shouts. They embraced me. For years I had not known a kiss. Oh, the pressure of lips is an exquisite bliss. They crowded around me. They filled the whole place. They looked at my feet, my hands, and my face. My children were there, and my glorious wife, and all the forgotten allurements of life. My cup was so full, I seemed nothing to lack, but I meant to go back. I meant to go back. I started, yes, Luke. Supposed to be speaking to Luke, you see, that wrote the account of it. I had started to find the healer, so mighty, so tender and kind. But work pressed upon me, my business, you know. For all of those years I was forced to let go. I had tools to collect. I had orders to get. I found my poor family burdened with debt. My time was all taken with labor and care. The days went more swiftly than I was aware, with the practical problems I had to attack. But I meant to go back. Oh, I meant to go back. I never supposed he would wait my return. Just one of the 10 who would linger and yearn. As they tell me, as you tell me he did, Luke. Why, Luke, had I thought, there is no one on earth I would sooner have sought. I'd show him my body all perfect and strong. I'd have thanked him and praised him before the great throng. I'd have followed him gladly forever and aye, had I thought that he minded my staying away. He's so great, I so little and paltry, I lack, had I only gone back, had I only gone back. How about you going back, son? You've wandered quite a long way off, haven't you? You're not the man you used to be, neither am I. Dear friends, I say, we need to get back to God, as we've been hearing. We ought to return and confess our sin, and humble ourselves, lest God have to turn away from us altogether. You need to come back. On the Lord's Day morning, we return, and we thank Him again. Oh, what a grand time it is. How's that clap, brother? Oh, man. Five, good. Much of it's done. And what a grand time it is when we return on the Lord's Day and we fall at His feet and we thank Him. Oh, what a meeting that is, dear friends. When we meet Him, it's always a wonderful meeting and will ever be. So there's a returning sinner, if you will, and God saved him. Oh, that you would come, dear sinner, and return to Him today. And thank Him for His mercy and His blessing to you in the days of the years gone by. Oh, the gross indifference and little appreciation of the world today. I tell you, brethren, we could nearly strike like we do with the heathen and teach God, preach about God as the creator of all things But all the religion, men don't seem to know God at all. Aren't we more or less in that category? Don't we need to return to God again, as we're hearing, the source of all blessings, and the cure for all our burdens and our troubles? I tell you, if we all got right with God, dear friends, all out of our troubles would pale into insignificance, and we wonder what the trouble was all about. How do you know that, people? Well, I know that. That's the way it begins at home. Don't you find out a way of doing it? Don't you ever give in to your wife? Well, you better. That's the only way. And I'll tell you something. Never fall out. Going to fall in again. Always in. That's just about the same way with brethren. You fall out, fall in again. Humble yourself. You'll find there's not so much wrong with your brethren after that. Regarding sin, God saved them. The other man never came back. Oh, if God touches your heart today, hurry up and come back. Where you run from. Your first love. Through your first works. God will bless you. Make you. Returning saints, return to that house. That's a high place to live, brother. In your house. Lord Jesus said, no man when he lights a candle, puts under a bed, or under a bushel, or on a candlestick, and give a light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, but before it shines before men, it must shine in the house. I tell you what's the matter with our assemblies. There's too many chatting dog homes. People that can't live peaceably and happily. I don't know much about Zionville, although I've been here. I'm here for quite a few years now. Maybe about second or third in Oregon, maybe. Yeah. Four, I don't know how many years since that. That's the trouble. In the homes. We can't get on happily and peaceably and humble ourselves with one another and try and pull along the way. Not much use. A man that can't humble himself is little use in God's assembly. Your friends. And sometimes there is only one that will take the low place before his brethren. What a blessing he can be. And Mr. Telfer, you tell about the he goats, you know, two he goats on the Alps, in the mountains. They're coming around a bend, around a curve, on a little ledge of a rock. And they met head on, horns and all. He goats. They don't back up at all. And they stood and looked each other in the eyes for a minute or two. What do you think they did? Try to fight on that little ledge? No, sir. Had more wisdom than that from God. One lay right flat down on his stomach. Another walked right over the top of him. And they both fell up and went on their way just. And I don't think he walked too rough on him either, dear friend. You try that sometimes. That's what that word means to be a doorkeeper, a doormat. Lie at the threshold of the door. For the saints to wipe their feet on you. They won't let you too hard. God will bless you. That's the place the Savior took for me and for you, to humble himself. Turn to thine house. That's the place. Don't let your light shine for a man. Don't shine in the house, don't shine anywhere. The returning Savior, oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth? Hallelujah. Returning Savior, a little while, a little. Returning Savior, I felt for him. He'll be around. But if Christ is in the home, send him to the door. The house wasn't empty when he cast the beam out. He takes up the board. And somebody said, when the devil comes knocking at my door, I send the Lord Jesus to the door. After that. Lord, bless his word. Praise our hearts, each one. Jesus.